It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I've got times you have no reason to be jealous, ladies, because your man's out there doing something. You might get a little jealous. I don't know if you're a jealous type or not. Tori, are you? I don't think you are you?
It depends on the situation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Somebody that's eyeing John.
No, with that, I'm like, that's right. He's cute. I like that, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's what, when he looks like he's flirting with someone?
I'll knock him out. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. There was one time in like Old Navy, and this was 10 years ago, and I still remember it, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
But I saw him like looking at a girl, and I'm like, I can see you.
You know, my wife tricked me. She was like, oh, it's okay to look at other people. We looked at each other people while we were dating. We got married, and all of a sudden, it was not okay to look at other people anymore.
Isn't that so true? When you're dating, you're like, sure, it's not a big deal. The minute that ring's on, it's like, hey, eyes over here, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, times you have no reason to be jealous when another woman looks at him. And, of course, you know, Tom knows this feeling, right? I'm sure Jamie, she had to get over that, didn't she?
No.
She just deals with it.
No. It just doesn't happen.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I feel like you did that on purpose. You know, I'm not that good looking.
No. You know what? He might enjoy the attention of another woman looking, but he is so comfortable and happy being with you for the most part. So you don't have to be jealous when other women are checking him out.
Unless he is one of those people that would go for that.
It's true.
Okay. All right, when he wants to hang out with his guy buddies, his friends, go out on a guy's night out or whatever, you know, he needs a break from all the TV reality shows and the gossip and all that stuff. So he needs a break to be with his buddies, just, you know, to punch each other, talk about some sports, you know, bodily functions, all that stuff. He needs a break. So you don't have to be jealous to think that he's, you know, neglecting you just to be with his buddies.
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on things, though.
Tom,
is he really out with his buddies?
Yes.
How do you know? But, well, are they at a strip club? What are they doing?
Tom.
Why are you messing with people like that?
I'm saying you can't just assume it's okay unless you have a pretty good knowledge of everything.
We're not looking at the negativity. We're looking at an honest relationship with some guys going out.
I'm
and
just trying
a few
to look
fun.
At reality here.
That's not
you can't
reality.
Tell. I mean, most certainly, how many relationship breakups have happened because of that kind of thing?
And how many don't? Where guys go out and have some fun with their buddies?
I didn't say they were all cheaters.
I'm
not saying you
got
to watch it. Well, then you're just not looking at reality.
Well, you can use that time to just take care of yourself. You know, watch some movies, get yourself some wine, cuddle up on the couch.
Yeah.
While he's cuddling up on that girl's arm.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't understand why you're saying that
doesn't
happen.
You're just pushing buttons.
No, I'm not.
I'm
saying that you need to, what I originally said before you turned it into something else was you want to make sure that's what's going on.
You don't even have to think about that. We're peeing. This is honest behavior. Somebody actually going out with his buddies.
So in other words, this is for people who don't have to worry because there's no chance that your spouse has any other.
That's a different conversation.
No, it's not. The conversation is what to worry about or not to worry about.
You can't think about it because once you have doubt that your partner is trustworthy, then your relationship is already ruined.
No, so, no. You can have doubt, but
once you start doubting whether they're telling you the truth, you'll always think that, and you'll drive yourself crazy thinking that. So let them go out and have fun, and don't worry about it.
You are just causing jealousy. These are times you have no reason to be jealous.
Unless you do.
Okay.
I know a friend who had the same thing happen in his relationship, and he thought everything was square and okay, and it wasn't.
It's tough to put yourself out there, but, you know, you just got to give yourself that time so that you can make sure it's a good person.
Times you have no reason to be jealous is when you find out that he has some kind of old photo or something in his junk drawer of an ex, because he doesn't even realize it's in there. And by the way, it's in a junk drawer, by the way. You know,
I still have love letters from high school.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Does that cause any problems?
And a necklace from middle school that says Cindy she gave me.
I noticed you wore that the other day. I'm like, why is he wearing that necklace with Cindy on it?
You know, I was thinking about the Brady Bunch that day.
Cindy wants that bag.
Okay. When you guys decide to lose some weight together, don't be jealous that he's losing 10 pounds a month and you have lost a zip.
Yes, I will be. I will be very jealous. It is so unfair the way guys drop weight.
Yeah, faster.
It's ridiculous.
But you know, after your pregnancy here, you've lost a lot of weight.
Well, because that's that nursing life. It just sucks everything right out of
literally.
You.
Literally. You go. It's like, I'll show him. I'll lose weight faster than him. You can't breastfeed, can you, John?
I've lost milk weight.
Yeah. And guys gain that, you know, weight when you are pregnant as well.
Mm-hmm. We both did because I had a bunch of cravings and none of them were healthy.
Okay. Final thing, the times you have no reason to be jealous is when he tells you about how cool his friend's girlfriend's or wife is, okay? Because maybe he's naturally just complimentary, and he just says a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, they say you don't have to worry about that. Positive compliments aren't intended to make you feel bad. They're intended to make the person feel good.
I'm already mad.
Okay.
Why are you complimenting another girl?
I kind of with you on that.
But it's a friend's wife or something. She had a great casserole. You guys went over to her house.
You're going
to
compliment her cooking?
Okay.
Fighting words.
And she doesn't nag as much as you.
Well, I nag because you make fun of my food.
I hope we've helped this morning.
No.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Let's talk about the lake filled with snakes.
What?
Now, what lake do you think I might be talking about?
Hartwell.
It is Lake Hartwell.
Is it really?
One of America's most snake-infested lakes.
Wow.
Is one of the Southeast's most popular lakes, and that is Lake Hartwell.
Oh, man.
Comprising nearly 56,000 acres of water and 962 miles of shoreline, Lake Hartwell is one of the largest recreation lakes in the southeastern United States. But it's also one of the most popular reservoirs for snakes.
Thank you for that. So next time I'm water skiing, and you know I fall off the skis, and I'm just sitting there waiting for the boat to come back around, and I'm just, you know, it's going to be like a shark, you know. I'm going to be scared.
I can't imagine you water skiing.
I don't like it. I don't like it when I fall off, and I'm out there by myself for a minute. Yeah, dude, I can water. I can't snow ski to save my life. Water skis, I can do that.
All right, well, let me give you something to think about while you're waiting for the boat to pick you up. There are at least 28 species of snakes found in Lake Hartwell, according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They include several water snakes, and a lot of times the snakes are king snakes as well, and they are non-venomous. But there are three venomous snakes. So I'll just run down some of the snakes you'll find in Hartwell.
Are these the venomous ones or the good or the bad?
There's only three venomous. Okay, all right. So the northern water snakes, brown water snakes, red-bellied water snakes, king snake, milk snake. There is also the Decay's brown snake, garter snake, ringneck snake, corn snake. And then we get to the fun ones.
Uh-oh.
The eastern copperhead. Uh-uh. That's a venomous snake.
I had a buddy of mine. He was cleaning out like landscaping. And he reached down to do some work, and all of a sudden, the copperhead bit his arm. And the whole thing was black and blue and swole up. It looked horrendous.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would never want that to happen to me.
Also, the timber rattlesnake and the pygmy rattlesnake. The good news about the pygmy rattlesnake, due to its smaller size and smaller fangs, it doesn't usually give as bad a bite as the other two. But the eastern copperhead and the timber rattlesnake are bad news.
Now, are they swimming, full-on swimming, you know, doing the snake paddle or whatever out in the deep? Or are they near the shore, just, you know, kind of getting cool?
They're just searching for people that came off their water skis.
They might be water skiing. You know, they take their family. They're probably camping out at Connie Ross.
Who knows?
Now, there is a common myth that there is also water moccasins in Lake Hartwell, but there are not. They are usually black snakes that are mistaken for being a cottonmouth, but to the best of their knowledge, the cottonmouth has not made it to Hartwell.
But at least we don't have alligators, right? So we got that.
Probably
to look
not in Hartwell,
to?
No. In south, in the low country, we do.
You know what causes a cottonmouth, don't you?
Smoking.
Yeah. Those snakes are smoking, is what they're doing.
Yeah. So the three venomous snake species that roam Hartwell. Just a few things here. According to one study, pit vipers, which is the kind of snake species that are found in Lake Hartwell, are accounting for over 99% of snake bites that occur in the United States, with most of those being rattlesnakes. And rattlesnake bites have a higher death rate compared to bites from other venomous snakes. The deaths are still rare, though. Only one out of about 700 or so.
At least they warn you when they come in.
Yeah, they get that rattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do that in the water or not.
Maybe like you're splashing water.
Or yeah. And then they say the most venomous snake is the copperhead, but doesn't drop as much venom in you as the timber rattlesnake.
I always love how people tell you, oh, look at their eyes, and you can tell if they're venomous or not. I'm like, I'm not getting face-to-face with this thing.
Well, it's the head. The head's what you got to look at.
I'm running like, the other direction.
If the head's like a triangle, you know, does it look like a diamond shape kind of? You know, if their jaws puff out like a big hamster eating something, that's when you are, need to be worried.
Now we're shaming the snake.
Yeah.
Look at those chubby cheeks.
Chubby cheeks. I never heard about that.
You know, I used to camp out on Hartwell. We would go at least once a month. Now, I'm down to once a year, and last year's the first time. But I've got to where, I mean, we would walk through dark paths in the middle of the night just going to the bathhouse, just to use the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
And I never once saw a snake.
You got to wear your Crocs.
I heard people did see snakes in my group, but I never did.
He should have wore his moccasins.
Oh, his water moccasins.
Oh, I got moccasins.
So, hey, listen, you don't have to. You don't have to be camping to see snakes. Me, my friends, we have like a poker night every once in a while, and just kind of get together and goof off. And we are on his back porch, and so where we go use the bathroom is in the yard. So we find a copperhead that's about 3 feet long, and the game stops because one guy's out there and he's about to use the restroom, and not just number one at that point. It's like he saw that copperhead, and it was a big one too, and that's in the backyard here in Simpsonville.
Well, copperheads are to be afraid of because copperheads are one of the most likely reptiles to bite a human. They are aggressive.
Yeah.
Whereas the rattler and the what was the other one I said was in there?
The two rattlesnakes.
The pygmy rattler and the timber rattler. Those are more likely to run from you. The copperhead is more aggressive.
And the copperhead, you look for the little Hershey's kiss. That's how you can tell it's copperhead. It's got the little Hershey kiss on the
kind of like Tori. I don't think I got time to do all that.
Okay. I see a snake. I don't care what it is. I'm running.
All right. Yeah. Well, here's the good news, Hawk. This is the part you need to think about when you're in the lake.
Skiing, and I'm out there by myself waiting for the boat to come back.
According to CDC, only 5 out of the 7,000 or 8,000 people who are bitten die every year. So your odds are pretty good.
But what if I'm one of those 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the part you don't want to think about.
You've been fun. Enjoy knowing you.
You know what? I am not going to water ski in the lake anymore. I got to find other places to do it.
Do it in the pool.
Yeah.
Be safe. You
know, it's got to be an Olympic-sized pool.
And, of course, the bad thing they don't talk about in here is even if you do survive, it's pretty brutally painful and can even leave you with some permanent scarring and stuff.
Well, let me scratch my camping trip this year.
Yeah. This is brought to you by the Lake Hartwell tourist group.
Yeah, I don't think so, Tom.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I'm going to talk about you cooking and what your eating at home means to you, because we were talking about that a while ago. And I got another statistic, too, and why I'm bringing this up is because Cato's eating a boiled egg here in the studio right now.
Yeah.
And he warned everybody. It was a boiled egg warning alert.
I don't even know why the first day, like a Monday, because I boiled them all.
We got you. You don't have to make excuses. Yeah. All right? It just
stinks.
But
you know what? It's giving y'all a way to, you know, pass gas if you need to.
Sounds like death.
Yes. 21% of people say they have never boiled an egg. 21% of people.
I've definitely boiled an egg before. It's not something I do a lot, but I've done it.
So is Cato. Every week, boiled egg smell here in the studio. Thank you.
Yes, I had to boil them twice because I left them out all night yesterday.
Wow.
So I had to boil them this morning.
Well, they had a survey and asked people what eating at home usually means to them. What eating at home means to you.
That my husband said we can't eat out.
Okay, all right. That's why. Okay. 78% of people said cooking from scratch. That's what it means when they are eating at home.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Even if it's a microwave dinner, if I heat it in my microwave, I made it homemade.
Now, these stats, they do overlap because microwaving a frozen dinner or some leftovers, 45% of the people said that's what it means to eat at home.
Ugh. I'll tell you, I've gotten to where those microwave dinners are so bad, I can't even convince myself to eat them. They're just terrible.
I've tried to tell you.
Now, there are some that, like, those got those frozen fries, like the Arby curly fries and, you know, waffle fries, and you put those in the air fryer, they're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm talking about meals.
And microwaves.
And microwaves.
Okay.
Microwavable meals are just atrocious now.
I would agree, but the air fryer is, and Tom convinced me to buy an air fryer, and it has changed my life.
Yeah, it's basically the adult version of the Easy Bake Oven.
All right, grab and carry out from a restaurant. 33% of people said that is what they consider being eating at home.
No, that's awesome, but I didn't count that.
I do.
That's all I eat.
I'll just whip by a drive-thru on my way home. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I do want to call out some of the fast food restaurants that are not fast food restaurants anymore. They are slow restaurants. It's not fast food. It's slow food. Because I went to, there's a couple of them here in the upstate in Simpsonville. I go in there. No one's at the register. You have to go to the kiosk and order it on the computer. And then you wait there. I waited 20 minutes to get some food yesterday, and it was really irritating, so bad that I complained to the company.
I don't mind waiting if it's fresh. I don't want to wait 20 minutes and to come out and the fries are limp and cold. And
20 minutes, though. We're talking this. They're called fast food restaurants.
He could have made it himself.
Yes. I could have went back there and got it out quicker and made it myself.
They start calling it fast-ish food.
Yeah.
It's not really fast anymore.
I'm like, and I understand that you're trying to save money, but those kiosk things, not a lot of fun. It's ruining my experience.
That's our future, man.
I know.
It's going to be all AI. You're going to be talking to a computer.
Although I do love, what is it, Five Guys, where they've got the drink kiosk?
Yeah, that's fun.
I'm like, suicide drink, get it all.
I got to say that, you know, we are doing everything. We're checking out. You know, we're doing all the work there. We're ordering our food at a fast food restaurant. I mean, what's it going to be coming to? Are we going to be pulling ourselves over and giving ourselves a ticket eventually? Like, you know what? Driving too fast. Do I know how fast I was
pretty
going?
Pretty sure I'm
going
to let myself off.
All right. Picking up pre-made food from a grocery store, 22% of people said that is what they consider eating at home.
That's what I eat, too.
Listen, you go to New York Butcher Shop or some butcher shops around here, they got some really good stuff you can just put in the oven.
Harris Teeter has a big hot bar.
There you go.
And a salad bar.
Mm-hmm.
And a
so does Whole Foods.
And pizza. And an Asian bar and a wing bar.
Well, a lot of people
said a restaurant.
A lot of people said they will order takeout if a meal takes longer than 30 minutes to cook from scratch.
Yeah.
You ever start those recipes where it's like 30-minute meal, one pan, and then you start, and you're like, why am I using two pans? What's happening? I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. I'm going to a drive-thru.
I just make my regular recipes over and over again. I've got, like, a book of stuff my mom made when I was a kid. It's easy. I know how to make it, and that's what I make.
I will say this. Tom, he really has some good recipes. Cato's banana pudding is super good. So I know you got your go-tos, but I mean, how about you, Tori? Have you got,
oh, I ain't playing this game with you.
You know what?
You make fun of my food.
That's right.
She got mad.
What was, she brought in the cookies. Mm-hmm. Or
peach cobbler cookies.
Yeah, that's not her go-to.
Yeah.
I don't like y'all at all.
I kind of liked them.
I'm going to make them extra special for y'all next time.
I got some signs you're a bad cook. If your spaghetti breaks people's teeth. That's
al dente.
That's al dente.
Why do people like it like that?
I do not
like my pasta al dente.
Is that what that means?
Yes. Get it mushy.
If it takes you an hour to make minute rice, that's a sign that you are a bad cook.
I think they labeled it wrong.
All right. If you use your smoke detector as a timer.
I feel attacked. You know what, though? She's so sensitive.
Yeah.
Because it'll go, and she'll be like, fire, fire. And I'm like, girl, I'm right here. There's no fire in
this
house.
It's just smoke is all it is, all right, from the meatloaf.
It's just an atmosphere, honey. Get used to it.
Maybe she means you're on fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then finally, signs you're a bad cook, your Jell-O don't wiggle.
Oh.
It folds.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Usually we are dragging, we are hating life.
Oh, well, that's too, but she just cracked me up. She asked where a bridge went. I said, to the other side.
Yeah.
That's what all that was about?
Yeah. That's not what I meant. I have literal tears. I meant what was over there before the Grand Bohemian and all of that. Like, where you said the road took you over there. I was asking what was there.
Cato's just trying to educate her about downtown.
Oh
yeah, I told him the Liberty Bridge used to be a 4-lane highway that went across the river. She goes, well, where did it go? I'm like, just to the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Oh,
but wow. Their business is over there, too.
Don't ask Cato for directions when you're downtown is all we're saying.
Well, oh, I know this town like the back of my hand.
Oh, my gosh.
What is
gosh.
That? Is that new?
What?
That wart you got there.
Yeah, that's called the...
the backing.
I'm sure they're thrilled to be equated to a wart.
I couldn't think of anything else.
And the veins are the streets.
That's right? Bald rock.
Yeah. All right. So this is unusual. Most Mondays are not this exciting for us, and most people agree. But researchers decided to test people's hair to see how much of the stress hormone cortisol they were producing. And the people who were tested, they found that Mondays were the most stressful day of the week. They had more than 23% cortisol coursing through their veins, and that can cause your risk to heart disease, weight gain, and other issues to go up. Yeah. The crazy part is it wasn't just true for people who were still working. It was true for retired people as well. Even retired people hated Mondays.
You know why? It's because we all have to go back to work. You can't hang out with them.
Maybe. Yeah, they said it also could be part of the fact they spent their whole life stressing about work, school, mm-hmm. the start of a new week, and it's just a tough feeling to shake. So your body has just learned to hate Mondays, even when you don't need to hate them anymore. But I think you're right. I think there's still something about the weekend when other people are off, there's stuff to do, and then Monday you can, everyone else is back to the grind, and you're like the kid who, like, at summertime, whenever everyone went off to, like, vacation and you were left alone.
Yeah.
And you don't have anything to do.
And it starts about Sunday night around 6 o'clock that you start dreading that is what I do.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
I like to get ahead of it. I start Sunday morning.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I wake up Monday. And I'm like, oh, this time tomorrow.
Wow.
Well, they say if you hate Mondays now, there's a good chance you're going to hate Mondays even into your 60s, 70s, and 80s and beyond if you make it that far.
I have family retired, and I'll talk, and I'll say, well, what did y'all do today? Well, we got up.
Yeah.
We watered the garden. Pick some vegetables, watch the birds.
Here's what's so funny, though. You call retired people, like your parents and your grandparents, they don't even know what day it is.
Truth.
It's like what day is it? Mm. I'm like, it's Monday or Tuesday.
They
or
don't
Wednesday.
Need to know.
Yeah, they don't care anymore.
Nope. And the sad thing is, what your people are doing in retirement, I'm already doing. So what hobby am I supposed to pick up when I get there?
I guess you'll just be really good at old people hobbies when you get old.
I'm practicing.
You're like, you're going to be a professional bird watcher.
That's what surprised me about this survey or study is because they don't know what day it is when after you retired. They can't keep track of it.
I can be up with them because my vacation, I'm gone a week.
All right.
And I never know what day it is.
That's alcohol. There's some drinking going
on
there.
Just you don't keep up with the days.
My wife is always asking me what day of the week is it.
Oh,
because she don't work.
Well, she...
She don't have a job. So she's like sitting there like, oh, today is today? And I'm like, I don't know. It's not Tuesday, though, because I know I have to do garbage that day. But I have to keep up with it for her.
I keep up with the days of the week because of, like, Torture Tuesday. I'm like, okay, it's Torture Tuesday. Okay. It's a group therapy Wednesday coming up.
Yeah.
So this show helps me keep up with the days.
We should make a calendar app.
I thought yesterday was Saturday. I mean, I'm sitting there having a drink with friends, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to go to work tomorrow. They're like, it's Sunday. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, wow, kiddo, that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
He's happy to be here.
There you go. It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.